Latido de lunes a jueves. You
the Safari Park. You're killing me, Larry.
Larry, fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Larry. Larry.
Ah, New Year's is almost upon us. Perhaps the dumbest, most meaningless holiday on the calendar. Probably invented so people could have one more excuse to get tanked and act stupid before heading into the depths of winter. This is the seventh New Year's episode of this show. The first really kicked it off, New Year's with the Mob. A bizarre and true story of a New Year's Eve I spent with my mobster pal Tony Spumante and his gallery of rogues. It happened long ago, but remains my most memorable New Year's of all. You can find it in the December 2016 tab at thatlarryshow.com. Most of the other New Year's Eves are a blur, but that one stands out because, well, gunfire and unconscious gun mauls tend to stick in your mind. New Year's Day is utterly arbitrary, huh? Might have more meaning if it were hitched to some astrological event, the equinox or solstice, but it isn't. It has no more meaning than National Talk Like a Pirate Day. I don't watch TV anymore, so I feel fortunate not to be subjected to the roundup of recently dead they're probably broadcasting about now. Even better, I won't be seeing even a glimpse of Ryan Seacrest and the Botox Bandits in their frenzy of fake excitement about a single tick of the clock. For some time now, I've made a conscious effort to ignore New Year's Eve. It really is amateur night. Well, clearly most of the world disagrees. It seems most people think it's the perfect night to take it off the chain. When people can't create their own New Year's revelry, businesses are happy to provide them. From Vegas to Atlantic City and at thousands of spots between, whether glitzy casinos or the pizza joint down the road, everybody's offering a gala event, prefixed dinner, and champagne toast at midnight. What exactly does the word gala mean? Seems they only use it to hawk New Year's parties. If corporations are making money providing gala New Year's parties, why aren't they fabricating Christmas gatherings for those bereft of friends and family? There's a lot more of them out there than people realize. Can you see the website? Choose your cast members, portrait pictures of smiling moms and dads in an array of ages and ethnicities who will not judge or criticize. Siblings who won't compete, an attractive girlfriend or boyfriend or non-binary to sit beside you and tell the others how you met and why he or she or it thinks you're fabulous. For an extra $50, they'll text you the day after and tell you how much they love you. There are probably lots of family gatherings that are just as fake. Corporate Christmas parties really don't fill a void, do they? They're usually several hours of torture. Hang out with the coworkers, most of whom annoy the shit out of you. For what? For a free meal, some free booze. But don't you dare do anything that you might normally do at a party, like drink to excess, flirt, and dance like an idiot. New Year's fits into a category I call now what events. The run-up and anticipation is everything. But once the thing transpires, we sit there and go, well, now what? People try to ameliorate that with resolutions, which have become pretty much a punchline. Politicians, the cause of nearly all human misery, have ruined the word resolution. How many times do you hear some jackal in Congress braying about
House Resolution 3829, zama, zama, zama?
People might think those have some meaning, some teeth. Well, here's the official definition.
House resolutions are not binding law, but rather express the collective sentiment of the House on a particular issue, person, or event.
Isn't that nice? So it's the equivalent of a group greeting card, and we pay them to do that mindless shit. Speaking of group greeting cards, I once stirred up some animosity at a company I was working at in Los Angeles. Somebody important back at HQ in New York had died. Incredibly, some dope found a jumbo-sized condolence card and passed it around for signatures, same as they did with birthday cards. And everyone signed it. I did not. The group was irked.
Why didn't you sign this?
They demanded to know.
Joe was a really good guy.
I explained that what the card actually said was, I'm sorry Joe is dead, but not so sorry to take the time to write a personal condolence note. The group made a group face. They didn't much like my answer. Or me, I guess. But back to New Year's resolutions. They really are vacuous crap. I recently heard the old James Bond theme, Thunderball, flawlessly sung by Tom Jones. There are some great lyrics in there, most apropos for this topic.
He acts while other men just talk.
That summarizes New Year's resolutions, doesn't it? Talk, but no action. Maybe what should be done is delete the first two letters of resolution and create some New Year's solutions. Resolutions become necessary because something in our lives needs fixed. We're overweight and underpaid, chronically lonesome, or stuck in a bad relationship. Just as with a congressional bullshit, no resolution will correct any of those situations. A resolution is just an opinion. An intention. But a solution, well, that's concrete and real. And often fixing one area of a life can have a ripple effect. Ask any formerly lonesome dude if his love life improved once he started making real money and lost weight. Funny how that happens. In that House resolution definition, they use the word collective, which is a commie word. Commies always operate as a collective. Groupthink is their way, the hive mind. Unfortunately, it's pretty effective in politics, isn't it? Freedom-loving people think as individuals, and they just want to be left alone, which is the essence of freedom. Which is why I coined the term LUTFA. Leave us the fuck alone. Now, last year around this time, this show offered magnetic stickers for those who wanted to proudly proclaim their status as a LUTFA. They were quite a success and sold out. I'm thinking of having another batch made. The production cost has risen, thank you, Soup Brain Joey. So they'll be selling for $15 each, 3 for $40, and shipping is free. Available only to U.S. residents. They're weatherproof and look fantastic on your vehicle, refrigerator. Hell, if I had a steel plate in my head, I'd slap one up there. Go to thatlarryshow.com if you want to see one in all its glory. So if I get sufficient interest, I'll have another batch made. And you can express that interest with an email to thatlarryshow@gmail.com. Or hit me on X at @thatlarryshow or Facebook or No Agenda Social at That Larry Show. The opposite of a LUTFA is an ASTCO. That's asshole seeking to control others, and that's part of their DNA, the need to control other people. Since they tend to be of lower intellect, useful idiots, as one of their patron saints called them, they need to always expand the hive in any way possible. These people are an absolute scourge on mankind. Maybe I should also make ASTCO stickers for us to slap on all those Prius bumpers right between the coexist and stronger together sticker. But really, life has become more difficult in the last few years since ASTCO's, led by Gibbering Joey, took over. Previously, you could concentrate on the challenges facing you and your family, huh? Food, clothing, shelter, education. Now, ASTCOs are constantly creating ways to destroy your country and your way of life. With defunded cops and soft-on-crime policies, we're all spending more time and money on walls, fences, and surveillance systems for our homes. We're scrambling for alternatives to public schools, which have become indoctrination centers for leftist ideologies, both political and sexual. We're finding it difficult to break even due to Bidenomics. How many had businesses bankrupted by unnecessary lockdowns? How many people have had their health ruined by side effects from experimental drugs that they still call vaccines, but offer no protection from anything whatsoever? In the election of 1980, the race looked very tight between incumbent leftist nitwit Jimmy Carter, who in one presidential debate actually said he sought the advice of his 13-year-old daughter regarding nuclear warfare, or as he called it, nuclear. Oh yeah, look it up. It happened. Instead of recoiling in the horror and lunacy of that statement, millions of starry-eyed, useful idiots found some profundity in Carter's moronic statement. But that's how the hive mind thinks.
Isn't that cute? He trusts the wisdom of a child.
During his tenure, Carter had fucked things up in much the same way as Joey has. America was a punchline on the global stage. Inflation was through the roof, as was unemployment. Reagan clinched the election when he looked the TV cameras and America in the face and asked if anyone thought they were better off now than they were 4 years ago. Reagan won by more than 8 million votes, but there were still 35 million who supported Carter, a proven presidential disaster. When Reagan won, the country improved and quickly, and there were no riots or cities burned by those who opposed him. There was no Antifa, and had there been, they'd have been rounded up and jailed. The ASTCO count was way, way lower back then. The media wasn't completely controlled by commies. There weren't millions and millions of illegal aliens flooding the country at the invitation of the president and being given money, cell phones, driver's licenses, and the right to vote. So this nation is in a very dark place it has maybe never been before. The political situation is now a battle between good and evil. No one is going to change anybody's mind with logic or strong arguments. Those days are gone. Even an appeal to self-serving logic, are you better or worse off, that won't matter, because there are now two distinct and polarized Americas. What has all this to do with New Year's solutions? Well, as we learned since Biden was installed as president, they govern by intimidation, coercion, and force. Take the jab or lose your job. Dare to protest their policies at school or at the Capitol, and you are a domestic terrorist to be arrested and or imprisoned. They don't even like the Catholic religion. They've put many of those folks on a terror watch list. There's a two-tier system of justice. Garbage like Schumer, Schiff, and Swalwell concoct a lie about Russian collusion, and a prolonged investigation determines it was all bullshit, all of it. Yet the taxpayers had to pick up the $40 million tab. Why aren't Schumer and Schiff and Swalwell being forced to pay that bill? Meanwhile, Giuliani, one of the few politicians who ever actually achieved something by cleaning up New York City, well, he'll be broke because the same justice system, finger quotes, thinks he owes two vote counters $148 million because he hurt their feelings. Steve Bannon, a pundit, is looking at a 4-month jail term because he defied a subpoena from lawmakers. Yet, crackhead grifter Hunter Biden did the same thing. And those same lawmakers, well, they just shrug. This nation is circling the drain. The big solution is not non-compliance. Fuck that shit. That's a first cousin to Gandhi's passive resistance. Our passive resistance? Let them take over our country at a grassroots level. And truth be told, I'm also pointing the finger of blame at myself. Many times in Los Angeles, I'd have people at my home for parties, barbecues, and so on. Some of them were lefties. And since leftism is their religion, they would mouth off about their love for their favorite politicians. And I kept silent. I still feel I made a mistake. Had I jumped down their throats and let the unpleasantness flow, they'd probably have been less emboldened to mouth off elsewhere and spread their evil beliefs. I wish I had said, hey, your candidate is an asshole, a proven liar, a grifter, and a power-mad punk. What does that say about you? Lose a friend? Maybe. But when someone supports people and policies ruining your country and your life, are they really a friend? So that's not my resolution, but solution, albeit a partial one. A start, if you will. They have silenced us everywhere. In the streets, on social media, in schools, at the workplace. Politeness and civility have been our path to subjugation. So this year, get loud, get strident, get in their face. Non-compliance is not enough. It's time to get confrontational. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. If you like what you just heard, go to thatlarryshow.com for hundreds more episodes. While there, help me keep this going. Click the Patreon or PayPal buttons and make a donation. If you prefer more anonymity, you'll find a P.O. Box address there that accepts all kinds of donations. In a few days, it will be 2024. Many foresee deep trouble for America, not seen since the 1860s. It's clear a cold civil war has been in progress for several years. It becomes hotter and more uncivil by the day. A national divorce appears to be the only fix. How that would be achieved, God only knows. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, Happy New Year, and take no shit.